Welcome to another episode of CFTV Live, presented as always by our good friends AgriGold Hybrid. I'm Adam Gray, joined as always by Jared Stansbury. Jared, how you doing today?
Good. How you doing, Adam?
Doing well. Doing well. We got a big game tonight.
Yeah, definitely.
This is the first time we've actually ever done CFTV Live on game day. Because think about it, with Jeff Woody always, games are on Saturdays. We would do the show on Tuesdays. And then this year, I do not believe we've ever had a game the night of.
Yeah. Well, didn't we last week? Yeah.
We did.
Didn't they play Kansas State a week ago today?
Was it Tuesday?
Yeah.
They played? Well, look at me. Started off this podcast already messing up.
Do you have short-term memory loss?
I'm getting old, buddy. Wait till you get over 30. Things start kind of going together a little bit.
I was thinking that we should do a CFTV Live special edition signing day special with Jeff Woody sometime, where he comes in and talks about the recruits
and their video.
Yeah.
That'd be a good idea. I think people would like that.
We should have done that today. That would have been a good idea to have yesterday.
We were talking on the Slack app, and Iowa State got a walk-on running back commit from the kid at East, I believe. I don't remember his name.
Rory Walling,
yeah. And we were talking to Jeff in the Slack app, and he said, kid's a stud. He goes, reminds me a lot of him, of myself, is what Jeff said, which my response was, I thought you said he was a stud. It was a good joke,
but I don't ever tell Jeff that I said that.
Thank you. I laughed. Yeah. Jeff can take a good little ribbing every now and then too. So I like what the staff's doing. This is obviously not the On the Trail podcast, but just, you know, with signing day coming up tomorrow, I might as well talk about it for a second.
We should tell people that On the Trail won't come out until Thursday this week.
I put it up on Twitter too, but yeah, On the Trail will be a Thursday morning.
Yeah.
Probably be up, what, about 10 o'clock? We'll have that out.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
That way it's fresh for signing day, which I'm excited about. I don't know about you. Are you excited to cover it for this?
Should we do like a... What should we do for? We need to do something special.
For the On the Trail?
Yeah.
You tell me, buddy.
You come up with some good ideas like this, so I feel like you'll be able to think of something.
Okay.
Should we do our ranking? Like
no.
Post signing day?
No.
No?
No, I need a little bit more time to evaluate.
Gotta let it marinate a little bit.
After last year's, I could probably wait a couple years before giving out my rankings on that. But no, I'm sure we can come up with something. But before we move on to West Virginia in the game tonight, you want to talk about Vanderbilt?
Yeah, we can. We can.
I'll be completely honest for people out there watching. I coached my son's basketball tournament this weekend. I watched 5 minutes of the Iowa State game. Didn't get a chance to go back and watch yet either. Quite honestly, don't really care to after a loss. If we would have won, I probably would have gone back and watched it, but we lost and don't care.
So you're just a fair weather fan?
No, it's there's a certain point in your life where you want to watch things that bring you joy, and if you know something's not going to bring you joy, do you really want to watch it?
There was a good stretch where they were up 11.
That's when I stopped watching.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I was in the gym.
You had a feeling it wasn't going to bring you joy anymore.
I had up my phone right here. I was watching the game before us play because Jake's game was coming, and I'm sitting here. Up 9 or 11, I turn it off. Go, coach. Get done. Look, saw we lost.
Would anybody really have judged you if you would have just watched from the bench?
Oh, I think a lot of people would. I think a lot of people would judge me. I would probably judge myself on that one. But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was my fault, though, because they were winning. I'm very superstitious.
Most things are. So it's just that we can just leave that to assumption.
We'll go with it. But, I mean, obviously the first thing that stood out to me, Iowa State gave up 88 points.
Yeah.
And Iowa State had been playing really good defense. What happened? What went wrong?
Well, I think it's sorry, got a notification from Slack. But I think the thing that was so different on Saturday is just it seemed like Iowa State's rotations sometimes were a little bit slow, and that left some open threes for Vanderbilt. That puts them into some positions where they were fouling uncharacteristically. Mm-hmm. And you know, then Vanderbilt goes and shoots 26 free throws compared to 12 for Iowa State, and when you get when the other team makes 12 more free throws than you do, they make 5 more threes, you're not going to win very often.
Yeah.
Like that's just how it goes, you know. And Even though Iowa State scored, what, 79 points?
84, didn't they?
Yeah, 84 points. So yeah. They scored 80 points, and you know, most nights that's going to win for you.
Yeah, right? Especially this Iowa State team.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't kind of the Fred Hoiberg teams where it was just, you know, try to outscore teams. And a lot of times, I'll never forget the game they went and played West Virginia. I think they gave up over 100 points in Morgantown.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, Iowa State only shooting 12 free throws isn't a huge surprise. It's the giving up of what, 28, you said? Because Iowa State statistically throughout the year has been one of
It was 20. They were 21 of 26.
21 of 26. And
obviously, there were some at the end, but I mean, still, they shot.
That's a lot
more,
for Iowa State to give up. They're typically a team that doesn't foul a whole lot. And, you know, that happens on the road, too, as far as, like you said, slow as far as moving and maybe keeping up with guys and switching and getting back and forth. It's harder when you're on the road and you don't have that home, you know, Hilton Coliseum to kind of pick you up when your legs feel tired, you feel step slow. Hilton, that's where they step up and they kind of encourage you and you get that second, third, fourth wind, whatever you want to call it. Don't have that on the road. Plus, let's be honest, playing at Vanderbilt's got to suck.
I think it'd be weird.
It would just be
an adjustment, you know.
A big adjustment. And it's just because you're used to playing from middle school, high school, into college from a certain setup, and then to have it go the other way, I bet you that takes a little bit of time to get used to.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
With that said, Iowa State should still be a Vanderbilt team. They should.
So they should have won. They should have won the game. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, there's some people that are calling it a bad loss. It's probably Iowa State's worst loss.
No.
But Biden, you don't think so?
No, I still think Cincinnati's their worst loss.
Okay, I believe that.
Even though Cincinnati's top 25 and everything, you don't lose to Cincinnati at home, especially when you have a lead up six with 2 minutes to go.
I think those two and then the Iowa game are all, like, right close to each other. And it's, like, lot like 1A, 1B, 1C.
And a lot of people look at both Vanderbilt and Iowa and say that Iowa rivalry game on the road, I give a little bit more leeway.
Yeah.
Plus, Iowa's been pretty good at home. Teams at home. They're terrible on the road, but they're pretty good at home.
What do you think of the SEC Big 12 Challenge? I'm on a crusade against it, at least in its current form. Yeah.
I don't like when they play it. Yeah. I wish they played it in December or November or something. I don't like the fact they play it in the middle of Big 12, but I don't mind it.
I think it just showed, like, having to go on the road, how hard that is to do, like, in a format like that, you know, in the middle of conference play, because it was mostly the home teams that won. Kansas and Baylor both won on the road, but
Oklahoma got slaughtered.
Florida won in Oklahoma, but
someone else had to, because it was 5-5, or was that it?
Yeah, I don't.
Who else would have won on the road? That might have been it. Actually, you might be right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't a good day for the Big 12 altogether. I think 7-3 is what most people probably are expecting. Iowa State loss was a little bit surprising. They weren't a huge favorite, 2-3 points? And then Kansas State getting beat by 17 to Tennessee surprised me, because Kansas State had been a really good team. That was a game that Iowa State, I thought, played really well for 25 minutes just to hold on and win. I thought they would go into Tennessee, a team that's not very good this year, and win by 10, and they got beat by 17.
Yeah.
So
I think that as much as anything, it just solidified to me that Baylor, Kansas, and West Virginia are all elite, and everybody else is just average to good.
I would agree with that. Although I would say that West Virginia didn't look overly dominant at home against
A&M. They were up 10 with like a minute and a half left, and then Texas A&M went on a run at the end, and West Virginia didn't make any free throws.
Yeah,
that made the game closer.
They almost went you and I on that game.
Yeah.
Is that too soon?
No, I don't think so.
No,
it's been almost a year now.
Good point. It's a good point. So tonight, West Virginia, they come in here top 10 team in the country.
Number seven.
Yeah.
Iowa State's won their last two games against number seven teams, for what it's worth.
Really?
Yeah, Michigan and Baylor in 2013-14.
That's a useless stat.
I saw that on TV or on Twitter today.
By Bloom, I'm guessing.
No, it was Matt Schultz.
Oh, really?
The media contact for men's basketball.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's like the stat that I always like to bring up. Whenever Iowa State's ranked ninth, I feel like they lose every time. Football, they were number nine when Seneca lost to Oklahoma. And then basketball, it feels like, you know, if you go back and look, whenever Iowa State got ranked number nine, they would lose.
I would agree with that.
So,
how many times did Iowa State spend in the top 10? It doesn't seem like it was very many.
Not as much as people like.
They would always get there, and then they would lose the next game. Yep. And then they'd drop back
out. It just shows you it's really hard to be a consistent top 10 team. I mean, the teams like Kansas that can do it, you know, Duke from time to time, North Carolina, that it's impressive because it's really hard to do because the bullseye is always on you.
Right.
So I put this question on Cyclone Fanatic yesterday. And the odds actually surprised me a little bit. But the question was, is tonight's game a must-win for Iowa State?
No.
No? I think last I checked, it was about 65% of people said yes.
Really?
Yeah, which surprised me a little bit.
Do you think that it is?
No, I don't think – I think it's one of those games, if you win it, it takes a lot of the pressure off you for the rest of the year. You have also this marquee win that Iowa State doesn't have right now. They don't have a marquee top 20. They have zero top 25 RPI wins. It gives you that win to where then all of a sudden, let's say you do go and slip up at Texas. All of a sudden, you're not sitting there panicking because you gave yourself a little bit of breathing room. You lose this game, you have zero breathing room. It's not a must win in that regard, but it is a must win as far as if you just want to feel better for the next couple weeks.
Yeah. Well, I think if they win tonight, then they're – maybe they are right now, or if they win tonight, they'll be a game ahead of where they were last year.
No, I know.
So, yeah. So, I'm just saying, I feel like if they win tonight, then you feel pretty good going into Saturday against Kansas because you're sitting outright third place in the Big 12.
I don't even think the placing in the Big 12 matters, but I think last year at this time, we'd already beaten Kansas at home.
Yeah.
In that, so we had that big win, where this year our biggest win's what, Kansas State, maybe Oklahoma State. Them beating Oklahoma last night probably helped Iowa State because they're very close to getting up into that – you know, tier. So I don't know. I think Iowa State's fine. I'm not trying to be like someone that makes Iowa State fans sweat. It's just, it's an interesting question because they only have two more home games that I think are marquee.
Well, and if you win tonight, it takes a lot of pressure off that game against Baylor later in the season. Because I mean, if you get to that one and you don't have that marquee win still, then there's a lot of pressure on it. It's like, oh, we really need to win this one to get our big win, you know?
Well, so question number two, which team is Iowa State a better matchup for? Which one is an easier win at home, Baylor or West Virginia?
I'd say West Virginia.
You think West Virginia?
Yeah.
Why so? Give me your reasoning.
Well, for one, I think Iowa State matches up well against their press, which we'll talk about in a little bit, just because of the way
– nice segue, I like it.
Just to have a guy like Monte Morris that is, you know, so heady, he's able to take control of some things. And just the way I think you can beat this press, I think Iowa State is going to be okay with that just because of the experience of their senior guards and some guys that are good at taking care of the basketball. I still think that they match up pretty well against Baylor at home, but – the length still scares me enough to where I would pick West. I would say that they would be more likely to beat West Virginia than Baylor.
And Iowa State has lost five in a row to Baylor too.
Yeah.
My brother asked me this the other day too. What is Iowa State's best game they played all year as far as when they put it all together the entire game? And my answer, even though they lost, was maybe Baylor.
Yeah, I would say
because
so.
Because for 36 minutes against Baylor, I thought they played great. It was just the last 4 minutes. They couldn't get buckets or couldn't get stops.
And that was a game I didn't even think they were going to be able to keep up in, really.
I thought they were going to lose by 15 in that
game. Yeah, me too. I mean, I thought that Baylor was going to be able to dominate them with their size.
Yep.
And they did a good job of holding their own.
Yep, so even though it was a loss, I would argue that was maybe the most consistent they played all year. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It's kind of fun to go back and forth because those are two very good teams. I agree with you. I think West Virginia is a good matchup for Iowa State. Iowa State typically doesn't turn it over a lot, which is kind of what West Virginia relies on.
Yeah.
West Virginia is a very physically tough team, though, which traditionally gives Iowa State fits, kind of like what we saw against Cincinnati.
Well, and the other thing that West Virginia has now is that they have an efficient offense.
Yeah.
So before it was, they needed those turnovers to be able to really be able to score. But now they're good enough on the offensive end, too, that they can actually score in their sets and stuff like that. It's crazy to look at their stats, and they don't really have any, like, one guy that's really awesome. They have, like, three guys that are pretty good, and then they've got a bunch of guys that are okay to, you know, solid. And it comes together to create something that's really good. And that's what I respect Bob Huggins. What I respect so much about him is just how he's able to find these pieces and put them together into his system and make it work every year.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, you look at Kansas, Baylor, even Okie State. There's always one or two guys on each one of those teams where you have to say, we got to stop this guy. Like, he's the focal point. West Virginia is not really like that, like you said. And Huggins rotates those guys in almost like a hockey line.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, as far as how they come in. So they work their tails off, and then he gets them out, gets them some rest, and does it. I actually thought Iowa State was going to play a little bit more of that style this year just because of they have a little bit more depth this year, guards. I thought they were going to get after teams a little bit more in the full court. Haven't seen it, but, you know, I say that, and I've heard Chris all week, too, talk about how he doesn't like when Monte Morris gets taken out when Iowa State was up 11 points, too. So there's like that fine line. Mm-hmm. West Virginia doesn't have a Monte Morris.
Well, yeah, it's like, I mean, you think about their roster, and it's like, okay, we need to stop Jevin Carter. All right, well, we stop Jevin Carter. Nathan Adrian and Daxter Miles are going to step up and
there's
score
always somebody else. Yeah.
Okay, well, you stop them. Okay, Asa Ahmad will step up and score some points. It's just, it's like one guy after another, and there's like five guys that could score 15 points on a given night. But then there's eight or nine other ones that can score 4, 5, 7, 9, and then all of a sudden you've scored 90 points just because you've got so many guys out there that are capable, you know? And you've created so many possessions with your press.
And that's what Iowa State needs out of Bowie and Holden. Last game they got 0 points. If both of them could give us 4 to 6 points, and all of a sudden there's 10 extra points, Iowa State probably wins that game against Vanderbilt too. So you don't need huge contributions, and Huggins has done a great job getting, like you said, just a couple of those extra guys to just to fill in, play, give him a couple rebounds and buckets, and
we'll see if Teddy Allen can be successful there.
I forgot Teddy Allen from Omaha.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think we need to recruit there more often.
Let's just move on. Let's just go to the
TV. You ready to go to the tape?
Yeah.
Which one do you want to take a look at first?
Let's start with Texas A&M's first possession.
Okay.
These are all from the first half of Texas A&M's game. This is just I just wanted to show the way West Virginia's defense is ruthless. Ruthless. All right. Start it.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. What are we looking at?
So Texas A&M obviously wins the tip. They're going to come and set a – here, stop it. Not yet. Right here. So they're going to come and set this high ball screen right here, and this is something that you see Iowa State do a lot too. Right here, the guy that's guarding Williams, the big guy for Texas A&M, he's going to jump out and hedge hard right there, and then instead of where he's going to – a lot of teams would usually just have him recover back quick and go with the roll man. He's going to stay there, and they're going to trap this. And then you can kind of see how they're going to rotate it.
Okay. All right,
go. Stop. So this guy back here is going to come and take the closest pass, and he's going to try and keep this pass from being available right here while they've got this trap going. And then with him, they're kind of just going to forget about him. Go. Get the trap. Force the guy to pick up his dribble, and then he's in no man's land. It turns into a turnover on the first play. Eight seconds in. Yeah.
You know, in the way A&M spaces too, this guy was able to guard essentially two guys at once.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. That's what they're trying to do. And as much as anything, what they want you to do is to dribble yourself into bad spots, and then you overthink it, and you start thinking faster than what you can actually perform. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what the press is about as much as anything. This point guard, he had a bad day on Saturday.
So me and you, neither of us are overly worried about Monte being in the spot. Are you worried about Naz, Matt, Donovan, Nick Wheeler-Bab? Are you worried about those guys at all? Especially Donovan and Nick Wheeler-Bab haven't seen this before.
As much as – and the thing that, like, a lot of the thing about going against this press is putting yourself into bad positions is you yourself putting you there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you dribbled to the spot that you – put yourself in a bad spot. You dribbled to the place where you got trapped. It wasn't like your teammates threw you the ball there and then they rotated over and trapped you. No, a lot of the time it's you just made a bad move. And I don't think that Iowa State's going to – his guards are going to fall into that trap quite as often. They've got guys that have played against this enough.
And let's be fair, this 12 here, he knows not to go to the corner. He's been coached at since middle school. But what West Virginia does a really good job is kind of tricking you into thinking it's open or forcing you to go where they want you to go.
Right.
You know, just playing a little
bit. And it's all – as much as it is to, yes, we want to create turnovers, it's as much to just make you go faster than what you're capable of actually going.
Next thing you do, you're shooting a shot, trying to get it off quicker than you think you probably need to.
Right. And then when you're doing that, it might as well just count as a turnover because they're going to go back just as fast the other way.
Okay. So that's the first possession. What do you want to take a look at next, Jordan?
Here, let me see my list.
A&M 10 seconds.
Yeah, let's do that 10 seconds. All right. So this one, they're not going to – or this is just another one of those things where it's like – they're not going to do anything special, but what they do just makes you think. And sometimes when you have to think, that can really lead to bad things. So let's just run it.
Run it. Okay.
Carter's just going to be all up in his space here. Instead of just going, like, why not? Like, why is he doing that? You know? Like, why dribble around like this? You could just go, try and get past him, get yourself across, and then at the end of the day, they end up getting a 10 seconds off of that trap. That's not even a trap. That's just you didn't get the ball across the line. And that's because, you know, Carter just stayed there right with him, made him think, maybe I can't get by this guy.
Whew.
That's just not thinking. And that's what I'm saying. Those are the kind of situations that I think Iowa State can avoid because they've got those guys that have had the experience. They've played against this system before. I don't think they're going to get flustered by something like that.
So let's say West Virginia is actually playing a full-on man press and Iowa State is able to beat it. Do you think Iowa State at that point needs to just completely push it and be looking for quick buckets all game? Because that's, to me, how you almost can get West Virginia out of the press. If you beat it enough, Huggins at some point is going to have to call it off, right? Mm-hmm. Or does he not call it off?
Well, I think if you can get some situations where Deonte Burton's catching the ball right around the logo,
yeah,
and he's got some three-on-two type actions.
And he's got Matt in one corner, Naz in another corner.
And he can start going downhill with some shooters in the corner. That's when you could really see Iowa State start to exploit some stuff. That's something I wrote about in my prediction for the game today. But
Do you trust Deontay?
That's the only other thing is, do you trust Deontay there? Even if it's Naz, do you trust? I mean, how much do you trust Naz right there? I think he could be successful with that as well. And it's just.
But you have, if you get the ball there, like you said, at that half court, you have to attack him there.
You need to attack because you can put them into fouling situations at that point. You get them scrambling. And even though that's kind of what they're doing all the time, if you can take their organized chaos and just turn it into all-out chaos, then they're not very good defensively. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And the best way to beat the West Virginia press is to keep them from making baskets. I mean, flat out, that's the best way. So if Iowa State can play well defensively, then they're not going to – I think that they won't get affected by the press that much.
Well, which brings me to this next one here. This is where they actually do press off a miss.
Yeah, so yeah. They don't do it every single time, or they won't do it hard every single time.
It's hard to.
But right. But they – right here that they do get a situation where they do.
Okay, let's take a look.
See, and it's just – stop it. Here's something I want to say about this point guard. When he catches the ball right there, he's – why does he go backwards? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's – why let them even get into a position of being set in it? He needed to be outletting and going already before they can even set up the press. Off of a miss, and that's another thing where they didn't do anything special, but – they put enough pressure on those guys to where they thought faster than what they normally would do. And then a pass that you think is there, all of a sudden one guy's getting his hand in the air and he's knocking it down, and then it's an easy bucket the other way.
So, I mean, what I see here too, Jared, is this is like we said right here at the top of the key or at half court.
Like, why doesn't that guy attack?
He needs to turn attack. That's right. Where Deontay, if you have Deontay there, and I think it's got to be Deontay just because of – even though he's not big, he's one of the few guys that's got a little bit of size for Iowa State in there. He's got to make the right read here, because the right read is turning, going, and then at least making that guy stay with you, and then you could kick it to that guy for an open three.
Right.
So, because right here, I mean, that's just a bad pass.
Right here, if you just turn and face towards the basket,
he's going to get
he's going to have an open lane because he's baiting you into that. That's what he wants you to do right there.
Yep.
Sure, Ahmad is back there right at the three-point line, but even then, there's probably a guy in the corner down here that you can kick it to for a three.
He pushes it here. They have 3-on-4 right there.
Right.
Or 4-on-3, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's funny you're showing this stuff here too, because every time we play West Virginia, my thought is you need to attack them the entire game. They're going to attack the press, beat them by attacking it back at them.
Yeah.
And you know what? You might turn it over, you might miss some shots, but you're going to get a lot of easy looks too.
So off of West Virginia's makes, almost always they're going to try and – the guard is going to try and force the point guard into one of the corners, and then Nathan Adrian, who is almost always on the ball, is going to come hard with a double right there. And just right there, they did a good job of, making their passes quick and not getting the ball and just standing there, letting them kind of reshift their press. And then, you get into some situations where that's when you're just it's all out craziness. If you get the ball, see the floor, make your passes, don't let them make their rotations. You get your break easily, and then you can get some easy baskets. All right, this is the last one.
Last one.
Yep. All right, run it. Okay, yeah. See, they just
yeah. That's just – I mean
– and that's just two things where all they did was had two guys there, and it just made the guys think enough. I mean, what's that lollipop pass over the top? Like, that's just – that's uncharacteristic things for normal college basketball players. I can imagine that guy probably hasn't done that since he was in high school, before he was in high school, dribbling off the back of his foot like that.
Exactly.
You know? And that's just because they sped him up so much right here. And then he sees this other guy come flying at him from another way. And it's just, you lose your composure. You're not just, you're trying to move too fast or faster than you can think. And that, as much as anything, I've gone back to this so many times. It's not about what you're actually physically doing to the person. It's about how you're making them think. Because on the basketball court, if you can't think as fast as you're trying to play, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And that's just, that's what this press is trying to do. It just wants to create havoc, but it's not called havoc because that's Shaka's thing.
So, I mean, Iowa State does a very good job not turning the ball over.
Yeah. And I don't think Iowa State's going to get in a lot of situations like that.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Matt or Naz or whoever that's got the ball right there is not dribbling off the back of their leg like that.
Right.
They might. We've seen him make a couple dumb turnovers this year, but usually, to me, it seems like more on the pass than the dribble. Mm-hmm. Iowa State's just got to be strong with the ball, Jared. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Because, let's be honest, they play a physical style, too, on that press where they are making it so the official has to make a call every play. Like, right. They could probably call a foul on West Virginia almost every time down the court.
Right.
But they're not going to. So you have to be a little bit stronger with the pass, a little bit stronger with the dribble. And as long as Iowa State does that at home, I feel very good about Iowa State, even though they're 3.5-point underdogs. I think this is a game that Iowa State will win tonight. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be a good one, but I do think that Iowa State's going to win the game. And the teams that you've seen have success or not have success against West Virginia, the Texas A&Ms, the TCUs, they've got young guards.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas maybe doesn't really fit into that category because they've got some older guards.
That's
obviously
at West Virginia, though.
Yeah.
That happens.
And it was on the road at Morgantown.
Yeah.
I think at home for Iowa State, if their guys can come out and play the way that they're capable of, I think they're going to win this game.
Yeah. And I think they know, too, the opportunity in front of them here.
Right.
I think they realize the importance of this game for the reasons we stated earlier in this show.
It seems like they've been good, too, at these points when it's like people – I mean, Steve Frome talks about when people are doubting them, the bounce back game, it seems like they've been pretty good in that one, you know?
Yeah.
Especially since Frome's been the coach there.
Yeah. And it's easier to get guys' attention, too, after a game that they had. But it's a big opportunity, especially with going down to Kansas this weekend, because, the last thing you want to do at this time of year is lose 3 games in a row.
Right.
And if all of a sudden you lose this, you're going down to Kansas looking like that's a very real possibility.
They've still never lost 3 in a row under Steve Prohm, so this was going to put that to the test.
A lot of pressure on that. A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And you know what? I know we don't ever win there and no one ever wins there. I'm not convinced we can't win at Kansas.
Yeah. Who knows?
I mean, they got some turmoil going on down there right now.
Well, yeah. No kidding.
You can't tell me that's not a distraction. Even for Bill Self, to me, is – if he's not the best coach in the country, he's a top 3 coach in the country. They have great players, senior guards, just like Iowa State does, and an environment as good as it gets. Even with all that said, there's no way that doesn't affect them, everything that's going on. Carlton Bragg's gone. They're already missing that 7
foot. Well, the LeGerald Vick thing.
Was he the one that hit the
– yeah, he allegedly hit the girl. That was 2 years ago.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I didn't see that.
So that seems like it's going to be something that comes up again because of just the – why didn't it come out until now, you know?
It's very similar to, like, the Joe Mixon. Although Joe Mixon, we knew about it. The video just did not come out until about 2 years later.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it
– well, and that still doesn't even – that. Sorry, we're going off on a Kansas tangent here.
No,
that's
fine.
Still
I think people like to hear it.
That still doesn't even include the sexual assault thing that they're investigating.
Yeah.
You know? Because the Carlton Bragg was – it was in a way, like, associated with it, but it wasn't associated with it because it was – I think that they found – the stuff that he had in the process of investigating the other thing. So, yeah.
Man. Well, hopefully.
So who knows what's even going to happen with all that then?
You know, I wish these – I know your kids are young and they make mistakes, but stuff gets found out even more nowadays than it ever used to. I hope people, younger kids now, that are catching on and noticing, and it's making them think twice before they make a bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, are they still young and dumb? I don't probably, but I know I did some young dumb stuff when I was young, nothing to that caliber, but man, it just seems like anymore this stuff keeps coming out more and more often, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's sad. So, yeah, enough of that. Enough of Kansas. Back to West Virginia. I do think they win. I think Hilton takes over tonight, and it proves to be
You're going
to
be there, aren't you?
Long story short, but no, I will not be.
What?
Yeah, I'll tell you about that later. I got a couple questions for you though.
Okay.
I put this on Twitter. I had a couple questions for you. This comes from Josh. Do you guys expect to see more of the really small lineup tonight to get more guards out there to help with the press? So less Holden, less Bowie. Maybe you put Burton at the 5.
No.
You do not?
No, because you got a rebound still. West Virginia is one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the country.
And you can still hide Holden down low in that press.
Yeah. Holden can go to the other end and be your guy that's like the drop-down guy.
He could have 3 dunks tonight.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time Iowa State had 3 dunks in one game.
Oh, Jameel McKay had one a couple times
last
year.
Well, yeah, but still it would have been last year.
Yeah.
Not this year, at least.
No.
I wouldn't think.
No, I don't think. I mean.
Unless it was against the Citadel or something.
Even then, I don't even remember. I was at that game, and I don't remember.
Yeah.
But yeah. But the opportunity's there if you push it against the West Virginia press. Okay, so you don't think so. You think they play big.
What do you think so?
No, I don't think playing small is big against the press because really you only want X amount of guys on the other side anyway. You don't want guys congesting that side of the side of the court. So you can have one big guy back and just almost leave him down there under the basket. And
I mean, if you think about it, Nathan Adrian's like 6'9". And so,
yeah.
I mean, I think Asa Ahmad's up in 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", range too. So they're big. Like you, it's going to be tough. It would be tough to match up with them with that lineup just because West Virginia is big. And they're going to crash the boards hard.
Yep.
You got to have somebody out there that's with the mindset of we're going to clean up the boards.
So he's just sitting here. We just went over all the videos as far as the press goes and what we need to do to break the press. But would you argue now, thinking back, that Iowa State's big getting some sort of production out of them is the most important aspect tonight, whether it be rebounding, defense?
I would say that will be an important – I wouldn't say the most important, but it will be an important aspect just because you're going to need them to be able to keep them off the boards. And that just creates – if they're not going to create their extra possessions over via the turnover, they're probably going to try and do it via the offensive rebound. And Iowa State's proven here that they are vulnerable to that. So I would imagine that's something that Bob Huggins is very aware of.
Vulnerable is a good word to use there.
Vulnerable. Vulnerable.
No, you said it right.
Yeah.
It's a good word. They haven't been very strong on that side
right.
of the game. Okay, this comes from Josh King. Is a strong start really that important? Last year started strong and lost, almost same as Kansas State. Is he talking about the West Virginia? I think we started strong against West Virginia at home and lost that game. Started strong against Kansas State this year and lost. I'll tell you what, I'd rather start strong than start
– game.
But lost the lead.
Yeah.
I would rather start strong than not start strong.
Yeah. I would
– I mean
– I'm of the belief that the first 4 minutes of both halves are very important stretches of the game.
Which coach did you have growing up that kind of shared this wisdom with you?
High school coach.
Yeah. No, I know. It's usually where people get this kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just I think that the first 4 minutes of each half are really important to setting a tone for the whole game. So I do think that getting off to a good start is important. I mean, I'm not necessarily saying you're going to be up by 20 at the 10-minute mark of the second half or something like – or the first half. But, like, if you can win the first media timeout of each half – that usually does a pretty good job of setting the tone for what you're going to try and do the rest of the half.
Yeah, I mean, can Iowa State overcome a bad start? Yeah, we've seen it.
Oh, yeah,
we've seen it many
sure.
times.
Yeah.
We've seen it once this year, even on the road against Oklahoma.
Right.
But I think against a team like West Virginia,
it's much better to come out and get off to a good start in that situation than it is to let them get five turnovers and be up,
and smell
15 to five.
Smell blood in the water.
Yeah, yeah. And the crowd's already out of it. Get off to a good start, get the crowd in it, and then, sure they gave it up that last year, but I feel like more often than not, you're going to put yourself in a good position to win if you do that.
Got one more question. Jimmy Cate, Johnston grad, is Tom Brady the GOAT? We'll pass on that. Jimmy Cate, I don't know, a friend of mine from high school, he likes to ask that question. Huge, huge bandwagon fan.
Huge. Of Tom Brady?
Any Boston school. He actually grew up a Yankees fan, and once they blew that 3-0 lead to the Red Sox, became a big Red Sox fan, and now he's a Brady fan because they've been winning. So he knows my feelings on everything, and he's trolling right now. So I shouldn't have even read that. But those were the three questions we had. Sorry for that.
Now that Adam went off on his Tom Brady rant.
All right, so anybody going to Hilton tonight, be loud. I want to mention one thing about – CFTV Live. I know we've talked about it a little bit in the past as far as it getting better. Hopefully in the next week or two, you will see a difference. This TV behind us will be gone. We will have an iPad where Jared will be able to, before the show even starts, take video and almost make circles like you'd see John Madden make in the day. You could do that. We'll have it all. The production will be done before the show. The quality will be better. You won't see any of the blurriness that you see behind us a little bit on the TV. It'll be crystal clear, just like it is looking at us right now. So I think it's going to be a big improvement, and we'll obviously continue that on next year when Jeff Woody is back on.
I'm going to bring in John Madden level analysis if that's the case.
Wow, you
need to. The most important part of tonight's game is to put the ball in the basket more than the other team.
Are you mocking the legend John Madden right now?
No.
Okay, then better not be.
He made a great video game, so I can't be mad.
Yeah, but thanks again to our sponsors, Agrigold. They're the ones right now that are helping to sponsor this show to make all this possible. So it's going to continue to get better, I'm really excited about it. I'm excited about it. You should be too, because you're going to be like a kid at a candy store with the technology we're going to have, being able to take the clips, put them on there, and run them for everyone to see, and I think everyone's going to like them.
And I'll don't have to stand up anymore and just sit here.
Yeah. Well, I'll literally hit – this is what I'll do, Jared. I will hit play, and what you already did from the night before, whenever you do it, will show up here, and people will just feel like it went to another camera.
Maybe we can figure out a way to get back to the video or the whiteboard then too.
Oh, we'll be back to the whiteboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a whiteboard. It was a basketball floor. It was like that size. is at a sporting goods store the other day. I almost bought it, but I didn't do it.
It's not a bad idea for next year, though.
Yeah.
We could do that. And want to mention, too, we talked about the signing days tomorrow. We have the recruiting party at Thunderhead next Thursday, February 9th. A lot of special guests will be there, so try to be there. Be in attendance. Be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time.
Anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so.
No. All right. Perfect. Well, thanks again, everyone. Thanks again to our sponsors, Agrigold Hybrid. And we'll see everybody. Jared and I will be back Thursday.
Yeah.
Thanks.